Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Depot Dive. I'm your host, Ross McCorkle, and above me here on the screen is my co-host, Joe Clark. And we have a very special episode for you guys here today, given that it is the first day of the 2024 NFL Draft. All of the talking, all of the analysis, all of the scouting reports, pro day tracking, pre-draft visits lead up to this moment tonight. So we're going to go through. We've each done some final mock drafts, kind of predicting what the Steelers are going to do today and in the subsequent couple of days of the draft. And then we're going to go through some listener questions, because a lot of these questions will become irrelevant, obviously, after today. We want to make sure to get to your guys' questions. Thank you to everybody who did submit those. Again, if you have any questions, if anything comes up throughout this episode, please do call the number there at the bottom of the screen. Leave us a voicemail, and we will get to it in a future episode. Joe, how are you doing today? Are you excited for tonight's events?
Oh, yeah. I love the draft. It's one of my favorite days of the year. Just can't wait to see what happens, who the Steelers take. It's, you know, there's a little bit of a question mark this year. You're not really sure, so can't wait for tonight. Very excited.
Me as well. Well, let's go ahead and hop into our mock drafts here and just go through pick by pick. I think what we'll do is just kind of go round by round. We'll each talk about who we had the Steelers selecting in that spot. And I will kick things off here with the first round in my mock draft. And this isn't the most creative take, but again, this is what I think the Steelers will do, not what necessarily I would do. I have them taking Georgia offensive tackle Amarius Mims. Now, to me, there are some better right tackles in this class, at least as it stands right now, in terms of if they had to play right now. There are better options. I just don't think any of them will be there, unfortunately. So your Talius Fuaga, your J.C. Latham, these guys are a little bit more ready-made and probably won't be available. If they are, great, but Amarius Mims, to me, is the next best option. He's got the measurables. He's got the athleticism. And even though he's only started 8 games in college, he really does look pretty good with his technique overall. He's not unrefined, necessarily, or sloppy, as you would expect somebody with that little experience to be. I had him there in my last iteration of the mock draft as well, so no changes there for me. And, you know, some people are not going to like this pick because of the whole 8 starts thing, and I get that. I totally get that. But to me, this is maximizing Broderick Jones from last year, being able to move him back to the left side where he's more comfortable, where he played in college there at left tackle. So you're maximizing last year's pick. You're taking a very high ceiling prospect with this year's pick. I would be pretty happy with this pick overall. What are your thoughts on Mims in round one?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be like they did with Broderick Jones last year. He's not going to be a guy that comes in and starts, but the projection for him to be, you know, a potential all-pro tackle is very real with the kind of traits he possesses. You know, you get him in that right, you get him in the right system, work with Pat Meyer, the rest of the offensive coaching staff. He's a guy that really could develop and be one of the best offensive tackles in football. So it's not often you're able to get a guy like that at 20. So even if you have to wait a little bit, if he's on the board, it's definitely a consideration I think the Steelers will make. And a guy, you know, they'll pretty heavily consider. Obviously brought him in for a pre-draft visit, went to the down at the Georgia Pro Day. So definitely some signs of interest there. Definitely a guy that I think could, one of probably 3 or 4 guys that I think would be one of the heavy favorites for the pick.
Yeah, and you went a little bit of a different route in your mock posted, I believe, was that just yesterday on the site?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and you had them selecting Graham Barton, the offensive lineman, presumably would be picked to be a center out of Duke. Tell me about that pick and how you landed on that.
Yeah, I mean, it just a lot of the tea leaves are there. You had Arthur Smith at the Duke Pro Day. The team, you know, they brought him another guy that they brought in for a pre-draft visit. And, you know, kind of get all this insider buzz now, you know. Mel Kiper Jr., this was today, said that the team could trade up for him. Tony Pauline kind of been adamant that he's going to be the pick at 20. I mean, some of that could be smoke screens, but the Steelers kind of are pretty bad when it comes to tipping their hand. Obviously, everybody knew they're taking Najee Harris in 2021. They were like, when they like a guy, it's they like a guy. And I think Barton, the dire need at center right now. I don't think you can trust Nate Herbig. I think Barton, even though it's a little bit of a projection, given he hasn't played center since 2020, like he told you at the combine, it's kind of just snapping the ball. It's kind of like riding a bike. And people are going to say, oh, he's big. He's too big to play center. He's 6'5". Well, Creed Humphrey's 6'5", too, and he's one of the best centers in football. So I kind of think that's a little bit of a, lazy analysis. And just Barton's athleticism, his traits are awesome for an interior offensive lineman. Definitely a guy I think could really develop into a future Pro Bowler. And I think that athleticism, those traits, the ability to pull is kind of what sets him, a tier above a Jackson Powers Johnson or a Zach Frazier, and why he might be the pick at 20.
I mean, Frank Ragnow, 6'5", Mitch Morse, who the Steelers showed interest in earlier in the free agent process, he's, I believe, 6'5", or in that ballpark. Mason Cole, who was the starting center the last 2 years, is up in that range as well. So I don't think they're shy from taking these taller centers, although some analysts do not like that. And to your point about the smoke screens, I agree. They haven't been necessarily great at hiding their interest in the past. It was kind of funny to hear Mike Tomlin admit that he lays some smoke screens in the pro day circuit, saying that he talks to some players who he might not have interest in just to mess with the media. So maybe they're turning a new leaf and trying to hide their tracks just a little bit better. Moving on to the second round, for me, after you get a tackle, obviously most people are going to be looking for a center, if not already in the first round. Certainly people want to see a center in the second round. For me, I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see it happen where one of those three falls to them at 51 overall, unfortunately. If I wanted to get into projecting trades in the mock draft, which gets kind of messy, I just kept it straightforward with the picks they have now. Maybe if you project a trade, I could definitely see that happening. But just if they're drafting exactly what picks they have on the board entering the draft, for me, the next biggest need outside of tackle and center is at wide receiver. So I had them selecting Michigan wide receiver Roman Wilson. This is a guy I've had my eye on since the Senior Bowl. I believe Mike Tomlin talked about him at the Senior Bowl as being one of, if not the top receivers at the event. And there were quite a few talented receivers there, including, Ladd McConkey and some of these other guys that should go pretty high in the draft. So high praise from Tomlin on Wilson. That's something to think about with that pick. But to me, the receiver, taking a receiver comes down to what are you looking for in that player? Are you looking for a Deontay Johnson type of player in terms of somebody who's excels at route running and getting open, who can move the sticks reliably and on these like quick, timing routes and stuff like that? I tend to think that they do need that, but there's another school of thought that maybe that isn't what they want. If that's what they wanted, then they would have just kept Deontay Johnson. So, for me, Roman Wilson is that guy who can run the route, so that's the way that I went. He kind of brings that Steelers mentality. I think I saw in an interview recently, he said no block, no rock was their motto at Michigan for their wide receiver group, meaning if you're not going to lay blocks for your team, you're not going to get the ball passed to you. I think that's exactly what the Steelers need and want at the position, especially given last year's kind of effort issues that you saw with Pickens and with Johnson at times. So, for me, Wilson is the guy. What do you think of Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, I had the exact same pick. I think he's kind of a prototypical Steelers receiver. And one thing I really love about him, too, that kind of fits in with this quarterback room they have now is he's a guy that never stops moving. Like, play extends, he's going to find a way to beat his man and keep the play moving, maybe make a catch along the sidelines, move the chains. And I mean, we've touched on this on the site that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields having, bottom of the league in average time to throw last season. I mean, ideally, that'll change because you don't want a quarterback that holds on the football, but. If they have to extend a play and hold on to the football, then Wilson's a guy who's gonna do everything in his power to get open and pick up a few extra yards. He's got great long speed. He can, man coverage. He can beat you just on a streak. The blocking is obviously a huge plus. Like, you love to have receivers that can actually block. I mean, George Pickens can when he puts his mind to it and actually, puts in a little bit of effort every now and then. And then hopefully, pair that with Wilson, who's a guy who seems to really embrace that, and he can really, have a ground and pound mentality even with your receivers who want to block. So yeah, I mean, I agree with Wilson in the second. That was my pick, and I think he was kind of going to be the ideal selection if he is there at number 51.
Yeah, and they didn't bring him in for a pre-draft visit, which, I think four players last year, I think the four top players last year maybe were drafted from that pre-draft visit list. So that is something to think about, but they did have several people at the Michigan Pro Day. They would have had a ton of exposure to him at the Senior Bowl, and obviously Mike Tomlin took note of him there. So I don't see that as being an issue for him becoming the pick. Okay, so in your first two picks, you have them missing out on a tackle. In my first two picks, I have them missing out on a center. So where did you go in the third round?
So, excuse me, my first third round pick, I had them also passing on tackle because I mean the mid round tackle, I just don't love. I don't really think there's anybody. I mean, I could had Patrick Paul considered in the second, but there's nobody I really love to come in that kind of could really make an impact. So the third one, Peyton Wilson, I wrote it was a bit of a projection that he was going to fall because of injuries. I mean, when we talked when they brought him in for a pre-draft visit, he's had the two major knee injuries and a shoulder injury since high school, but the team brought him in for a pre-draft visit. He said he was healthy at the combine, didn't have to do too much medical. Even so, there's still going to be teams who are scared off by that medical history, and it's not necessarily a great off-ball linebacker class. I think you kind of interchange him, Edgren Cooper, and Junior Colson, 1, 2, 3. So I don't think it's too far-fetched to assume that Wilson will be there at 84. It gives the Steelers a potential three-down athletic linebacker, a Landon Roberts. Maybe this might be his last year with the team. I think he's only got 1 year left on his deal. Not getting any younger, and some injury issues last season. And so Wilson's just another guy that can add some depth there. Maybe be a long-term guy with Patrick Queen. And then with the second third is when I found the other taking tackle. And while Wilson might have been, a stretch like he falls to 84, I took Mack Dunkalvis, which might be a little bit of a reach, but he did have some interest. I think he had like four or five pre-draft 30 visits with teams. So a guy that got some buzz. He was at the Shrine Bowl. He didn't work out because of he was still injured. Combine as well, but really positive guy. He seems like the type of guy that would kill an interview with the team. So I think he might go a little bit higher than we expect. He's also got versatility on. He can play left tackle, can play right tackle, played both at Pitt where he's a captain. I really like his initial punch. So he's somebody that I think I mean, obviously the Pitt connection fine. They share the building, but he talked at the Shrine Bowl about how excited it would mean to him to stay in Pittsburgh and play for the Steelers. Obviously, you kind of like that out of a prospect guy that really wants to play for a team and do whatever he can to help him win. So at 98, I did have them going finally addressing the offensive tackle position with Goncalves.
Nice. I love that Peyton Wilson pick. I've been a big fan of him since the Senior Bowl and at the Combine. He told me that his medicals checked out pretty well at the Combine. A lot of players were held up in medicals and late to their interviews. He was not really one of those players, which I kind of expected him to be. I think he probably expected himself to be. So he seemed kind of pleasantly surprised that he wasn't getting poked and prodded a whole lot because he did stay healthy his last. I think 2 years of college, he stayed pretty healthy, maybe one minor thing in his second to last season. But last year, he played outstanding football, won the Defensive Player of the Year and the Linebacker of the Year in college football. And he would be an excellent pick there. So I love that pick. For my third round, and people aren't going to like this, like I said, we missed out on center in the first and second round. People are probably itching. Where's that center going to come in? To me, the value at center, if you miss out in the first round, and assuming these guys do not make it to them at 51, the value just isn't there. So, you could reach for, one of these Norzad or McCormick, or maybe Cedric Van Pran. Granger is still available, and I did consider him in the third round. But to me, he just isn't the type of athlete that the Steelers need at the position, especially with Arthur Smith's offensive system, wide zone concepts. They need their linemen to be able to move and reach block and do all that stuff. I don't think Van Pran Granger is necessarily that guy, even though he is, he's one of the most experienced centers in this class. I did put strong consideration in for him, especially given the need, but the Steelers didn't really show a whole lot of interest in him, and they did show some interest in some of the other later round centers that we will get to later. So for my third round, I had them addressing the cornerback position with Max Melton out of Rutgers, the corner. He's more of a slot guy. He's a little bit more of a slight frame at 5'11", I think 187 pounds, but he had an outstanding performance at the scouting combine. He ran really well. He jumped really well. His tape shows, you know, he's aggressive. He likes to come downhill. His tackling maybe isn't as good or as physical as his testing and his kind of demeanor suggests, but you know, he can run. He can do everything that you need him to do in the slot. And on top of that, he's a lights out special teamer, somebody who could immediately step in. The Steelers have been placing a big emphasis on special teams this whole offseason, and I think Melton would kind of be a continuation of that in the third round here. I'm pretty happy about that pick in the third. Moving on to the other third-round pick, you had linebacker with the first third. I had a linebacker with the second third, and I went with Cedric Gray, the linebacker out of UNC. Obviously, Cole Holcomb's status is still up in the air. We're unsure of if he's going to be a contributor or when he will be a contributor if he comes back. Inside linebacker coach Aaron Curry was out at Cedric Gray's pro day at UNC, so that's a sign of interest. I think the Dan Rooney, the vice president of player personnel, was also there. So there's some interest in some of these UNC guys, and I think Cedric obviously is one of those guys with the position coach being out there. You know, I think he can do everything pretty well. I mean, I watched him at the Senior Bowl as well. He wasn't like a top-end talent or anything, but he does everything pretty well, and I think he could work his way into a rotational role, you know, pretty much right away along with Patrick Queen and Alandon Roberts, especially if Cole Holcomb isn't around. And I think he could also be a lights-out special teamer early on, which is important with these mid-round guys. So my next pick, moving into the fourth round, and this is where the center comes in, finally, is Mason McCormick, the interior offensive lineman out of South Dakota State. He played mostly guard. I think he played maybe like one game's worth of center or something at South Dakota State. So he's more of a projection guy, along with, you know, your guy in Barton in the first round. The Steelers showed a lot of interest in these kind of positionless offensive linemen this year, if you will. Troy Faltanu, Graham Barton, Mason McCormick, among others. So I think that Khan values the positional versatility. I think that Mason McCormick will be a good player. I don't know if that'll be at center or guard. I think they'll try him out at center, and he has a pretty good chance in his first year to at some point crack the starting lineup. This would probably put Nate Herbig in the starting role for at least the first, you know, handful of games of the season, which isn't ideal. But I did actually like Nate Herbig's play last year when he stepped in at guard for those couple games. I thought he showed a lot of nastiness, and he helped propel them to one of their best rushing performances in that mid kind of portion of the season. But yeah, Mason McCormick was the guy I landed on. I considered Hunter Norzad, and I do like Hunter Norzad. I think he, you know, also has a good shot of being that next guy if they miss out on the centers early. But to me, McCormick just has a little bit more size to him, and probably, you know, if things don't work out at center, he can kick out to guard next year with James Daniels' contract set to expire after this season. You watched Mason McCormick at the Shrine Bowl, I believe, and you did his scouting report. So what do you think about McCormick?
Yeah, I'm actually a pretty big fan of McCormick, especially as a center, because I think he blocks. He's one of those guys that blocks really well in a phone booth. My big knock on him was his awareness sometimes, like getting out in space, you know, kind of would hesitate between blocking certain guys and play would kind of get blown up. But he was one of the leaders. He was a captain on a really, really good South Dakota State team over the last 2 years. And I think in that he's the pass protection, he was really impressive to watch on tape, and also at the Shrine Bowl. Watching him there was kind of how it was like, I kind of started to really, you know, kind of like him as a prospect. And then digging into the tape a little bit more, I kind of really saw the value in taking him, in the middle rounds. I think he gave him a fourth round grade, which is where you had him. But yeah, like as a center, like staying in doesn't won't have to pull as much. I think that would be a really good projection as long as he can, learn to snap and figure out, picking up blitz protections and all that sort of stuff, which I think he said he was the backup center at South Dakota State. So that's kind of something that he did do in practice. So definitely a player to watch in the middle round, especially had that pre-draft visit with the Steelers. So a name to watch if they don't get a center early.
And he had a ton of starts, didn't he?
Oh yeah, no, he played. He had like some. He had I forget the exact number. He had a crazy consecutive start streak dating back to like 2020. He's experienced, tough, rugged. I mean, he's a football player. He's it's the best word to describe him. Like he's just a dude. He's gonna. I mean, he's not afraid to get nasty with it in the line. A little bit aggressive. Yeah, fun player to watch.
And I can't remember, I think Tomlin either, and it might have been the pre-draft press conference that he was talking about these centers, in terms of these projection centers that we like to call them, where you don't necessarily have the game tape at that position. He talked about, well, some of these guys behind the scenes, are maybe practicing at the center position throughout the year that you guys, aren't aware of. You just look at the game snaps and stuff like that. So it sounds like McCormick is experienced at center, just maybe not in game as much. So, this isn't the ideal situation for center, but you're not going to get everything you want in a draft, and this is just how I saw things falling for them, especially if there's no trades, which again, there very well could be trades. I just didn't do trades in this mock, but yeah, pretty intrigued by him overall, but again, not the most ideal center situation. What's what your fourth round pick you had?
Yeah, it's not. It's an again. It's not ideal. It's a corner, Jarvis Brownlee, out of Louisville. I do like him as a slot corner in this draft. I mean, I would much prefer to get Melton or Sanner still, but given how the draft kind of broke, I think if you're taking a slot corner in the fourth round, that's not too bad. And Brownlee, I think, can be a long-term option. He's super physical off the line of scrimmage, and he's got good hips. He can turn, so he won't get beat too bad downfield, even though he's not the fastest guy. But he's solid against the run. He can make plays around the edge. So kind of the Steelers really need a slot corner right now. Unless, I mean, there's always the option they can bring back a Patrick Peterson or Chandon Sullivan, but I think right now they're pretty set with Joey Porter Jr. and Dante Jackson on the outside. I think if they're taking a mid-round corner to come in, it's going to be a guy on the slot just because, I mean, they can double up at corner. We've talked about it a million times and maybe add depth, but if you want to go in the fourth round, then I feel like it should be a slot corner that somebody could come in and actually play and give you, so, some significant reps immediately. And I think Brownlee's a guy that could do that right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Brownlee. I watched him at the Senior Bowl. He had a really, really good week there. I think underrated. He didn't receive that much buzz, but I mean, to me, he was one of the better corners, or had one of the better corner performances at the event. Moving into the sixth round, we both had defensive linemen with our first of the two sixth round picks. I had Jaden Crumedy, and you had Logan Lee out of Iowa. So it seems like we're kind of both thinking along the same lines. Defensive line is one of the big needs, but there just doesn't seem to be a great path to landing one that is going to be able to step in right away. So we're more looking at these late round developmental guys, trying to look for a trait or something that stands out about these players that they can work with and develop into the future. I know Logan Lee, he's one of those guys that's a little bit longer and kind of has the stuff that they look for in defensive linemen. I remember him popping up in some of just sifting through the prospects early in the process. He was one that I had kind of circled as, okay, this might be a guy that they could have interest in just because of the measurables alone. And then Crumedy for my mock, he was brought in for a pre-draft visit, and so when you're looking at some of these late round flyers, late round developmental guys, that's kind of what I leaned on. He was just one box away in Alex Kozora's defensive line draft study based on the measurables and the testing numbers. So he does fit a lot of what they look for. He's a little bit short overall, but everything else checked out pretty well. And I also considered Christian Boyd, another pre-draft visitor. So, take your pick of these late round defensive linemen. It looks like we kind of differed, but probably a lot of the same logic there.
Yeah, absolutely. I considered Crumedy too. I really just went with leagues. I really liked watching him at the Shrine Bowl and met with the team there. Obviously, also came for a pre-draft visit. He's a lifelong Steelers fan too, so that'd be kind of cool if they did take him. He said Mel Blount was his favorite player. He used to watch tapes of the old Steel Curtain Steelers growing up, and can go from the black and gold in Iowa to the black and gold in Pittsburgh.
Love it. And one interesting note that came up this past week, Mason Smith out of LSU, who many people have, I think our Josh Kearney maybe even mocked him in the third, or maybe even I think it was the second of the third, maybe, that he mocked Smith to the Steelers. Smith said that he is expecting to potentially be a late first round pick, which to me,
I'd be shocked.
I would also be shocked. This is coming straight from his mouth, and what he's referencing is straight from the mouths of coaches that he has supposedly talked to during his, and he has had extensive pre-draft visits. I think he had 13 or something. So teams are definitely interested in him. There aren't that many guys in this class that have that kind of height, weight, speed, measurable profile that he does. He's kind of the prototype in line with, you know, somebody like Stephon Tuitt, who went in the second, I believe, second round. And so, I mean, if a guy like him ends up in the first, you're probably looking at really slim pickings at the defensive line position as you get later into the draft. Because if he gets picked in the first, that's going to push a lot of these guys up, and a lot of teams are going to be reaching who might have defensive line needs. So, could be interesting. I don't know if the whole defensive line draft thing is going to work out for the Steelers this year, but maybe one of these late round guys is available. Moving into the last pick of the sixth round for me, and this is the guy I just published my final scouting report of the pre-draft process on, and this is Chigozie Anousium out of Colorado State. I was very impressed with his tape. He played outside corner a lot at Colorado State. Maybe not against, you know, the best competition all the time. But he really does a lot of things very well. He ran well at his pro day, a 4.39. He's long. I think he's 6'1", a little over 6'1". He's 200 pounds. You know, he can turn and run. His hips are smooth. He's physical coming downhill. He can make tackles. He's a strong tackler. Really, his biggest issue, and this is definitely a big issue, is the fact that sometimes he has trouble locating the ball in the air. So, you know, he'll be right in position to make a play. He won't actually make the play because he doesn't get his head around in time, or he isn't able to locate what's going on in time. But when he does locate in time, his ball skills are actually pretty impressive. He gets his long arms out in the way and bats down passes. So for me, this is if the Steelers double dip at a position, it's going to be receiver or corner. So I had them double dipping at corner, and this is a guy that can come in and compete with somebody like Corey Trice to be kind of an outside depth corner and possibly eventually become, you know, maybe even a starter. And this is another guy who will be lights out on special teams as well. And I think with your last pick, you took the plunge and had them take a quarterback.
Yeah, I like your pick a lot more because I wouldn't be very happy if they took a quarterback. But you know, questionable as reporting can be sometimes with a Didi Kinkabuola's report that you know team's doing their homework. Tom Werther's doing his homework on quarterbacks. I mean, the only pro day I think we had him down for was the South Alabama pro day. Carter Bradley is the son of Gus Bradley. So you know, you had some sort of NFL bloodlines there. So that was my pick, was Carter Bradley, the quarterback out of South Alabama. I think maybe try to stash him on the practice squad, and if not, compete with Kyle Allen as the QB3. I think Kyle Allen's a good third-string quarterback, but it's probably your emergency quarterback anyway. So if you think Bradley has some upside to maybe be a good backup in the future, maybe a guy that can start a few games, I'd go for it. I mean, he does have some traits to work with. He's got a great deep ball, but I'm personally not in favor of them drafting a quarterback, even though they will go into camp with four. I think you can sign an undrafted free agent and see what happens. But they scouted Bradley, and Omar Khan didn't rule out drafting a quarterback with two guys on 1 year contracts with Fields and Wilson. So it could happen. And if it does, it's probably going to be at this last six round pick. I'd be a lot more in favor if a guy like Jordan Travis was potentially there. I'm not sure he's going to make it that far. But yeah, so I have Bradley as the pick there, which could happen. We'll see. Wouldn't be thrilled if it did. But if it does, then at least I was right.
That's right. Yes, I think we were both saying in the chat, our goal is to have at least one of these mock draft picks correct, and at least one of our scouting profiles drafted by the team. So it's a low bar, but this stuff can be unpredictable. Yeah, well, we were going to move into a segment on the receiver trade possibility, especially given Alex Highsmith's recent restructure, which definitely improves the chances of a possible trade happening. And we were going to dive into several listener questions via voicemail. We're already running a little short on time here, so we're going to dive into a listener question that has to do with the Aiyuk situation that will allow us to talk about that situation a little more. This one, they didn't leave a name, but we're going to listen to the call now.
Hi. I don't know if I'll be the first caller or not, but what if there's a player that the 49ers really want at pick number 20? So we swap first round picks and we get Brandon Ayuk out of the deal. Would we have to throw anything else in? I know the receivers this year have not gone for much. Thanks.
Yeah, so the question being, if the Steelers wanted to acquire Ayuk, could they simply just swap first round picks with the 49ers to make it happen? His logic being that receivers have not really fetched that much in return this year in the trade market, which is a fair point. For me, I look at the draft value chart, and you look at the difference between the San Francisco 49ers pick at 31 and the Steelers pick at 20, and you're looking at about a 250 trade value difference. And if you look at 250, that equals out to a high third round pick. So you're more or less asking, are they willing to trade Ayuk for a high third round pick? To that, my answer would be no. With the only caveat being, if there is a player they really, really want there at 20, I don't know who that would be. I don't have a great grasp on their draft needs in particular, but I potentially, but I would lean no on that. And in terms of what else they would have to give up, I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
If it was just a pure pick swap, Pittsburgh probably would then have to give up either their second this year, maybe an additional, or their first next year. I just don't see 49ers don't really seem all that motivated to really deal Ayuk. I don't think, I mean, he's such a talented player. I don't know if really the move up 11 spots is just like, I don't think they would do that just to move up 11 spots. They do have a needed offensive tackle. So, like you said, if a guy they really likes there, let's say, like, I don't know, if a JC Latham somehow falls, then maybe they're a little bit more motivated, but then the Steelers probably then, their first this year, maybe their third this year, and I don't know, maybe a third next year. That I mean that might be a little bit heavy, but for 31 and Ayuk, I just don't I think if the Steelers get I do trade for Ayuk, it would be a pure 20 and just 20th overall for Ayuk, or like a second and a fourth for Ayuk. I don't think there's any way they're going to get a pick in return. It would obviously be sweet if they did, but I just don't foresee that happening. Just given how the whole situation has played out to this point.
How in favor of acquiring Ayuk are you? Given, draft capital investment aside, well, I guess you can't really do that. So what do you like the idea of not having a first round pick? 'Cause I mean, that would be I mean, if nothing else, it would be a big letdown for tonight.
It just makes it tough with the needs they have. I love Ayuk, and I mean, I would do it. I would give up 20 for Ayuk, I think, and then find a way to fill your needs in the middle rounds. But it is tough given that you're missing out on filling a player at, a key spot. You're missing out on a potential really solid tackle, a guy like Mims who could develop into an all-pro, missing out on a starting center, and a Frazier or a Barton or even a Powers Johnson. I mean, you could take Ayuk and maybe with that 20 and then maybe find a way to move up in the second to get one of those guys to soften the blow of, not having that first round pick. But then how do you address, your depth at cornerback, your depth at receiver? Well, yeah, I guess they need to take out, you can need to worry about the receiver depth. So, I mean, there's ways around it. So I would do it. It would be a little tough. Would be interesting to see how they navigate the draft. But I mean, I'm in favor, but I think he gives the Steelers another legitimate weapon. I think you'd make George Pickens a lot better too. So it's a move that I think would be really great. But that's, as far as how the draft plays out, would definitely be something, kind of interesting to see, and how it all how the dominoes would fall, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, I trust everything Omar Khan's done in his tenure so far has been pretty solid. So I'll say this, if it happens, I'll like it. If it doesn't, I will also like it. I tend to want to see what happens in the draft just 'cause I like the draft and I think there's a lot of great talents available, but yeah, I mean, you can't pass up on a proven talent over one of these that is everybody in the draft is ultimately a projection at the NFL level. So I think that's where we're going to wrap up here. I apologize if we didn't get to your questions. It just didn't fit into our time here today. If you called and it was a draft question, obviously we won't be able to hit those in future weeks, but do give us a call back with more questions. We would love to answer them. Again, that number's at the bottom of the screen. I hope everybody here has a great viewing experience for the first round of the draft tonight and the rest of the rounds over the next 2 days. We will have everything up to date, all the analysis for you on SteelersDepot.com. So check out the website, check out the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Alex. They're probably going to be posting some emergency episodes, I can imagine, over the next couple of days. And we will catch you guys next time.